What you sow is not brought to life unless it dies. Words of St. Paul from the first letter to the Corinthians. Words that we may not necessarily want to hear. Death is a frightening prospect, and indeed we are not made for death. We are made to live, and not only for time, but we are made to live forever with God. And so death, namely the separation of body and soul, the termination of this life, termination of life in this world, is something that human beings do not look forward to. But by the grace of God, it is something that now is transformed from an endpoint into a passage. And for the Christian who prepares, who turns his life into one preparation for death, fear begins to diminish, to even vanish, because the heart of that Christian becomes filled with charity. And charity, as we read in the first letter of St. John, casts out fear. More than one saint has characterized what the life of the Christian must be. The life of the Christian, according to these saints, must be one long preparation for death. Not a preparation for an ending, but a preparation for that moment for which the state of the soul will be cast for all eternity. One preparation for death that is not for a time, but is an ongoing preparation. So those who enter the life of religion, this is what their formators tell them, if they're good formators. They tell them that this life in religion is one long preparation for death. And that's what it should be for each one of us. This is why it is recommended that we do examinations of conscience very frequently, daily, to see if we are prepared. Are we prepared? If our Lord were to take us at any time, would we be prepared? And if not, what would we need to do to be prepared? Unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat, our Lord said. But if it does fall and die, it produces much fruit. And our Lord has destined us to produce much fruit. And paradoxically, it is this constant death to self whereby this fruit is produced. In the Old Testament, God commanded the Israelites to offer up animal sacrifices, and not just a few, but a great many. Thousands upon thousands of animals, God commanded the Israelites to offer up in sacrifice each and every day. The thing is that these animal sacrifices in themselves did nothing. They did not take away sin. What then was the purpose of God commanding these sacrifices? Well, they all pointed toward the true sacrifice that was to come. If the Israelites did what God commanded them, if, that is, they performed these sacrifices in anticipation of the one truly efficacious, the one perfect sacrifice, then they were worth something to those peoples of the Old Testament. And yet it was the coming of our Lord himself, the offering of the perfect sacrifice. This is how we now understand how death is a passage to true life. And it is instructive for our meditation that in the order of salvation, the economy of salvation, as it is called, for the redemption to be perfect, the salvation of our souls, this plan of God, a more perfect one than which cannot be found, God wished to take a body, to take flesh of the Virgin Mary. And in this way, he wished to offer up the perfect sacrifice to effect a perfect redemption. And so the offering up of a body, a human body, is involved. This annihilation, as it were, this total dying to self. This is the love that God has revealed to the world. And so he shows us exactly what we must do, because we are to give him a return. And in order to return that love of God, we have to imitate that very love which, as it were, died for us. This is what the martyrs did so valiantly. This is the grace that they received. The grace to count their lives in this world as nothing for love of God, so that they could then gain everything. So when we are like those grains of wheat that fall to the ground and die, then we have something truly worthy that we can offer our Lord, not because we have anything in ourselves, but because God, in his goodness, extends to us his merits. And when we unite ourselves to his loving sacrifice, this is when we begin truly to love. Perfect love, to return to the saying of the evangelist St. John, casts out fear. And if we discover perfect love in sacrifice, then we will hunger, we will thirst, just like the saints did, to offer up true sacrifices. And we don't have to go here, there, and yonder to find them, because God will put them in our midst. All we have to do is to make that resolution to die to self and to put that into effect here and now, not somewhere else. There are concrete moments that God gives us to make concrete acts. Not for us to say, maybe later I will offer up the sacrifice, but not now. What if our Blessed Lady had said maybe later to God at the Annunciation? God wanted her to offer up her yes, her sacrifice, then. When the fullness of time had come to offer up the sacrifice on the cross, Mary was called to unite her sacrifice then and there. Not at some other time, but at that point. And so important was her participation, that upon her sharing in that sacrifice, upon her yes, her cooperation, depended the birth, the flourishing of the entire church, your faith and mine. And that very same faith gives us the courage, will give us the courage, to consummate the sacrifice of which God is asking each of us. And so we pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who united to Christ, made the perfect sacrifice. We pray to her that, especially through the participation at Holy Mass and by incorporating the Holy Mass into our lives, our perfect love will cast out all fear, that death for us will be but a passageway to life. The preparation for death, which we must undergo every day, will be a preparation for everlasting life. Praise be Jesus and Mary.